What does it mean when death refuses to claim you? In the book of Elsewhere, we meet B, a being who has walked the earth for 78,000 years, experiencing death countless times, only to be reborn again and again. Unlike the glamorous immortals of popular fiction, B's endless existence is a prison of memory and repetition. His immortality isn't about avoiding death, but experiencing it repeatedly, dying violently, only to emerge from egg-like chrysalises with all memories intact. Through his eyes, we witness humanity's cycle of discovery and loss, writing, agriculture, mathematics, all invented and forgotten multiple times across millennia. What makes this exploration of immortality so haunting isn't just the physical reality of living forever, but the psychological weight of remembering everything while watching everyone you know turn to dust. When does existence without end become a burden too heavy to bear? For 78,000 years, B has been locked in a relentless dance with another immortal, a Babirusa, tusked pig, born of the same mysterious blue lightning that created him. Their relationship forms the novel's darkest mirror, showing two approaches to eternal existence. While B seeks meaning through contemplation, the Babirusa finds purpose in single-minded hatred, hunting B across continents and centuries with uncanny determination. Like B, it dies violently, falling from cliffs, torn apart by dogs, poisoned by its own kind, yet always reforms from a crystalline egg exactly 7 days later, memories and vendetta intact. Their first encounter in the Pleistocene epic, when B delivered the creature from its dying mother, created an unbreakable bond that twisted into eternal enmity. What began as compassion became the foundation for history's longest blood feud. Ancient texts refer to them as the seeker and the pursued, their eternal chase becoming mythologized across cultures as a metaphor for life and death itself. How does the modern world attempt to categorize something fundamentally beyond human comprehension? Through the UNIT, a secretive military organization studying B with the clinical detachment of scientists examining a rare specimen. Led by brilliant researcher Diana Ahuja, they deploy B for high-risk operations while attempting to weaponize his immortality. Their elaborate protocols and surveillance systems prove largely futile against someone who has outlived entire civilizations. Diana's character evolves from scientific curiosity to philosophical questioning as she witnesses B's ancient wisdom and terrible loneliness. When she eventually asks whether B might be a god, it reflects humanity's instinctive need to contextualize the incomprehensible. The unit's attempts to create super soldiers using B's biological samples represent humanity's persistent drive to conquer death through technology. Millions spent pursuing manufactured immortality without understanding its true nature. Isn't it ironic that we build bureaucracies to study eternity, as if immortality could be captured in reports and data points? When B dies, he typically rehatches at the location of his death, creating a growing mess of my old dead selves, corpses that remain preserved, neither decomposing nor disappearing. These macabre landmarks physically manifest eternal recurrence, each body telling its own story of violence endured. Only occasionally does B experience elsewhere deaths, awakening in different locations, journeys he meticulously documents, hoping to find patterns. The novel suggests violence itself might be cyclical rather than linear. B encounters vengeful individuals representing descendants of those he harmed centuries earlier, suggesting violence creates generational echoes. One family has passed down stories of B's actions for 7 generations, each member sworn to seek revenge. Most disturbing is how violence becomes ritualized through repetition. B's combat trances become almost ecstatic experiences, fight joy, described in terms usually reserved for religious rapture. The Babirusa's repeated attacks become a dance both beings know by heart. When B finally waves goodbye to the Babirusa instead of engaging it, the gesture suggests the possibility of breaking cycles, that even beings defined by eternal conflict might eventually choose another path. How does one find purpose in endless existence? B's meticulous record-keeping represents his attempt to impose pattern on chaos. Journals spanning millennia, filled with detailed observations of deaths, rebirths, and lives between. He seeks ghosts unpresent in the pages, patterns of absence that might reveal purpose. Like archaeologists piecing together ancient civilizations from fragments, B sifts through experiences looking for hidden significance. His approaches to immortality vary dramatically, sometimes embracing stillness, sitting motionless on a mountain for 3 lifetimes just to see what would happen, watching civilizations rise and fall below. Other times, he builds temporary lives among mortals, knowing they'll end when companions age and die. He becomes teacher, farmer, parent, roles offering purpose, but inevitably leading to loss. He even briefly rules as a god king, attempting to find meaning through power and worship, only to discover the hollow nature of forced devotion. When B finally discovers the mechanism of his elsewhere journeys, the egg tooth that falls during little deaths, it answers how, but not why, he exists. The physical explanation fails to satisfy his deeper yearning for purpose. Midway through the novel emerges The Life Project, a self-help group masking profound cosmic purpose. Led by Charles Alam, the group wields extraordinary powers, directly challenging B's nature. While B embodies death and transformation, Alam represents life and continuation, demonstrated through his ability to resurrect the dead using mysterious blue energy mirroring B's own powers but inverted. The novel complicates this apparent dichotomy when B discovers they share the same blue lightning, suggesting they aren't enemies representing life versus death, but 2 sides of the same cosmic force, both embodying different aspects of transformation. The true opposition emerges through Dr. Schur, an agent of stillness, a cosmic force opposing both life and death in favor of unchanging stasis. This 3-way cosmic balance introduces a nuanced philosophical framework suggesting that change itself, whether through death's transformation or life's growth, represents the natural order, while stagnation is the true cosmic enemy. Haven't we all felt these forces at work in our own lives? The pull toward growth, the inevitability of endings, and the temptation to remain safely unchanged? You're not immortal, the doctor tells B in the novel's most profound insight. You're infinitely mortal. This perspective transforms B's curse into something meaningful, not endless stagnation, but endless transformation. Traditional immortality narratives portray unending life as remaining unchanged while the world evolves. But B's immortality is a series of deaths and rebirths, each bringing physical and potential psychological evolution. The butterfly metaphor is apt. A butterfly doesn't simply live longer than its caterpillar self, but transforms completely while maintaining continuity. B's deaths aren't failures of immortality, but necessary components allowing evolution rather than stagnation. His elsewhere journeys might represent opportunities for growth rather than cosmic punishment. Perhaps our own lives gain meaning not through duration, but through transformation. Not by avoiding endings, but by allowing each ending to become a new beginning. What if death itself isn't our enemy, but what gives our existence its shape and meaning?